out Wednesday evening, 6/12/24. The title is called Confidence. We're going to look at what the dictionary says confidence means. A feeling or consciousness of one's powers of or of reliance on one's circumstances. Faith or belief that one will act in a right, proper, or effective way. The quality or state of being certain. A relation of trust or intimacy, reliance upon another's discretion, support, and communication made in secret. I believe many today have become totally disillusioned with about every kind of institution there is, whether it be the medical industry, the church, the banks, just name whatever industry you want to. When we found out, we thought that they were working for our best interest. We had a lot of confidence in these people, the products that they made or whatever. And now we're finding out they're all dirty devils. They're all part of a scheme. It's caused people to lose confidence. And the one that's saddest to me is I believe that a lot of people in the church have lost confidence in God. The leaders they trusted. So that's what we're going to look at today, confidence. All right. As this transition begins, bringing the church back to its original foundation, the confidence the church once had will return. God is never, he is never... not been there for his people. But I think because men and institutions, we're talking religious institutions, they didn't know enough about God to help people have confidence in God. You understand what I'm saying? They didn't know how. I know with us, I never learned how to do much of anything. I mean, I got born again and filled with the Spirit, but as far as really just being certain and having confidence in God, because you see in the church, they're all running to the institutions of the world when they have a problem. They may say, well, I'm going to believe God and get prayed for, but if it doesn't happen, like, they'll run to the somewhere else. Now, I'll qualify that. There's nothing wrong with going to the institutions of the world if you first ask the Holy Spirit about it, and he says, yeah, go on. There's the difference. Instead of just handling everything that we think we should handle, just doing it in our own flesh, thinking, well, it's just quicker, No. We should have enough confidence in God that we can trust him, whatever issue we face, to get the answer. Don't you agree? Yeah, we should. All right. How many people today do you know that really trust God? I mean, these are people that when something happens, they go to God. And they wait till God speaks to them before they act. Do y'all know anybody besides present company? I said besides present company. That do that. Okay. All right. We see in the Faith Hall of Fame a remnant. We're not going to read the Faith Hall of Fame, but you know who they are. Three Hebrew children, Daniel, Moses, Joshua, Caleb, and others, Jesus, and then Apostle Paul, Peter. All right. If you are so confident in God tonight, why do you walk around in sackcloth and ashes? Like the world's come to an end, and it's just so horrible. If we really have confidence towards God, would we act that way? Would we walk around that way? I'd ask my own self that question. If we really believe God, wouldn't we walk in confidence that, well, He hears and He'll answer and He'll bring a solution and all will be well, right? What is confidence if it isn't showing a confident demeanor? I mean, if the people of faith cannot walk on top, who can? This isn't to tear anybody down tonight. It's just maybe a just checking up on where we're walking, where our attitudes are, well, how we're thinking. Because really, you know, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So if you're all down in the mouth, then your demeanor is going to be one of lack of confidence, right? As opposed to being confident. If you really believe God, yes, He's on the throne, He's got my answer, and I'm not concerned, then you're going to walk with confidence. People say, like Brother Hagin used to say, or maybe it was Charles Capps, that old boy ain't got a thing in the world wrong with him. Just by the confident way that they act and they walk. Let's look at some scriptures. Psalm 65. This is going to be, well, we're just going to read the whole psalm. It's a good psalm. Verse 1. Praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, thou shalt purge them away. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. By terrible things in righteousness wilt thou answer us, O God of our salvation, who art the confidence of all the ends of the earth, and of them that are afar off upon the sea, which by his strength setteth fast the mountains, being girded with power, which stilleth the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves, and the tumult of the people. They also that dwell in the uttermost parts are afraid at thy tokens. Thou makest the outgoings of the morning and evening to rejoice. Thou visitest the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enriched it with the river of God, which is full of water. Thou preparest them corn when thou hast so provided for it. Thou waterest the ridges thereof abundantly. Thou settest the furrows thereof. Thou makest it soft with showers. Thou blessest the springing thereof. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths drop fatness. They drop upon the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice over every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys also are covered over with corn. They shout for joy. They also sing. So God wants us to be confident and know He is the provider. We're not going to read Matthew 6 today about not taking a thought to how He considers the bird. I was thinking about the little bird we lost in the hailstorm. I'm thinking, Lord, you took notice of that, didn't you? But how much more does He take notice of you? How much better are you than the birds, Jesus said. How much more can you have confidence in God? He knows everything. He knows the inside and out, the in from the beginning. And so there's not any person on earth that could even compare to Him as far as having confidence in. Well, here's what confidence in that instance means. A refuge, security, and assurance. If the Old Testament saints could have confidence in the Lord, how much more should we with the Holy Spirit living inside of us? The friend that sticks closer than the brother. All right, we're going to read some more scriptures. Psalms 118. look at verse 8 and 9 there. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Yeah. Right. Their confidence means trust. Trust. Okay. Proverbs 3:26. This is one of my scriptures I really like. For the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. I like that. It means the loin there. The loin. You think, what does that mean? Well, we're going to look at what that means. In the strong, the loin is the hip, our procreative power. Think where a baby is carried in the womb. Right there on the hip bone. All right. We'll come back to that. Well, we'll skip. Put your finger there. We're going to go over to Ephesians 6:14 right quick. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. That's our production center. That's where we create. Just like that baby in the womb, in the hip of the mother. All right. Okay, let's keep going. Proverbs 14. This is 26 and 27. The fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Confidence there means a refuge, security, or assurance, like we looked up there in Psalm 65. All right, now go to Isaiah chapter 30. I think most people have not built up a confidence in God because they haven't been taught how to. All right, 30:15. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel is returning, and rest shall ye be saved in quietness, and in confidence shall be your strength. And he said, you would not. See, the Lord wants us to look to him for everything. Yeah. Confidence there means trust. Do you really trust God? That he's able to take care of the situation without you going berserko and taking it into your own hands and doing it. Yeah. Okay, we're going to go over to the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 3. Starting with verse 8 there. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. So part of the mystery of Christ is this confidence that we can have in God. Confidence there means reliance. In other words, we're leaning. What's reliance? Something you lean on, right? You lean on God instead of other things for your answers. Learning to rely on God. Okay, Philippians chapter 3. Verse 3. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. This is Paul talking about that. All right. That word confidence there means to convince by argument, true or false. You know, a lot of people are convinced still today about the world system and all that entails and the puppet president. They'll fight tooth and nail to the death and have confidence in something that's totally false and evil. Okay, go to Hebrews 3:6. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. I mean, I love President Trump and I'm going to stand with him, but I choose God over him if it came to that. This word here is assurance by our speech, outspoken and frankness. I think it was Sunday that I had in the Word about we need to become bolder in our speaking. I mean, led of the Spirit, not just going off on people, but to be bolder to speak the truth to people and not be upset if they don't like it or they get offended, right? Because I'm telling you, the disciples, they didn't care. Well, you know, they told us not to preach in the name of Jesus, but you know what? We can't help to do but what we've been told to do. And whether you like it or not, well, you know, that's just a problem. But we can't teach, do anything but teach and preach what we know. If you don't like it, I'm sorry. At least you've been told, you know. All right, verse 14, same chapter. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Sounds like he's in it from the get-go to the end of it, right? Your confidence in God. You don't ever bail. You stick with the ship. You'll go down with the ship. That confidence. All right, right there, that means a setting under as support, essence, or assurance. A lot of meanings of that word from different scriptures. Okay, I'm going to read four scriptures that have the same meaning. The first one's Hebrews 10:35. It says, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. If you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. That runs into that next chapter. Now faith is. That's our confidence right here. All right, 1 John 2:28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. All right. 1 John 3:21. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. 1 John 5:14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. There's no doubt. All this, these four scriptures here have the same meaning. Outspokenness, frankness, bluntness, publicity, or assurance. So what does that mean? We showed this right here. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. All right? This is showing confidence in your demeanor. You're not acting like an old sad sack dragging around. You're acting like it's answered. You're acting like it's done. You have confidence in God that when you prayed, you received. What is faith's corresponding action? You act like you got it before you got it. In other words, okay? In the Strong's, boldness is the same as confidence, okay? Acts chapter 4. We're going to read an example in Acts chapter 4. Now, Peter and John got arrested because they healed the man at the gate. Right here. And as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in a hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men were about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked him, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means is made whole, be it known unto you all, to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. Now this is Peter who denied the Lord. He's now standing boldly in confidence. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And when they saw the boldness, confidence, of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle has been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, it is straitly threatened them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, Rather it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people, for all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old on whom the miracle of healing was showed. Yeah. We're going to look at a few. I've got just a few scriptures here that have boldness in them. This is first one's Ephesians 3, verse 12. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Paul knew about that confidence. Philippians 1, 20. According to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose I want not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Nobody any bolder than Paul, for sure. All right, Hebrews 10. I'm going to start with verse 19 there. Having therefore boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. Yeah. Okay. One more. 1 John 4:17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. All right.